From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of February 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Our background music today from the Black Keys. I use it occasionally, but thought you'd like to know where it came from. The Black Keys, of course, the big winner at last night's Grammy Award ceremony. Now, coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with another big winner, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll look at the cash grain market with the folks over at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and check in with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast. And it all happens on a Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media for the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago, or at least closed on this Monday afternoon. Futures finished like this. The soft red winter wheat on its last trade was down 14.5 cents at $7.41¾ in the March. The May at $7.49¼, down 13. And July, the harvest month for the soft red, at $7.50¾ at the CME Group, 12 cents lower. In Kansas City, a settlement price here at $8.19 for the July, 0.75 cents lower. March contract back in Chicago for the corn pit, and this is a close, 7.03½, down 5.5. May futures at 7.02, down 6¾. July, 6.91¼, down 7¾. And September futures in the corn pit at $5.77¾, 7 cents lower. December at $5.58¾, the harvest month, down 4.5 for the new crop. March soybeans at $14.32, down 20.5. The May at $14.17½, 19¼ lower. July beans at $14.09¼, down 16¼, and the August at $13.71½, down 17¼. September's were down 17½, and November's were down 13. That contract settled at $12.69 for the new crop. January at $12.71¾ for next year, at $15¼ lower on its finish. Bean meal futures at $4.13, down 9.40 in the lead option, and March bean oil 18 cents lower at $51.25. Live cattle futures finished up the April at $130.35, up 22½. June at $125.97½, a settlement there up 27½. And the April feeders at $148.62½, finished 42½ cents higher. May at $151.25, up 72½. April lean hogs at $86.37½, up 25 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, March contract, $96.88 a barrel, $1.17 higher for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $3.02¼, that's 3¾ cents lower. That's the wholesale price for gasoline. Ethanol at $2.39½, a penny and 7 cents lower, and the difference between the two at 63 cents on the spread. That's a penny and 6 cents narrower than Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.28¼, up a penny and 2 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, just about unchanged on the day at $3.23¼. And the gold futures at $1,648.40 an ounce, $17.80 lower. The U.S. dollar trading at 80.31 is up 0.06 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high near 38. It'll be breezy, with a west wind at 21 to 29 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 44 this afternoon in the area. It will continue to gust all the way to 30 this evening, with a low of 23 degrees on a west wind at 9 to 18 sustained. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and 39 degrees, west wind at 7 to 9. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 27 degrees. That west wind at 6 miles an hour will calm during the evening. And then on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 44 degrees, a light southwest wind. It'll turn to the west-southwest at 5 to 9 in the morning, and then a Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 29 degrees. On Thursday, partly sunny and 45, Friday sunny and 33, Saturday sunny and 28, and on Sunday, sunny skies with a high near 30 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of February, 2013. I am Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Bloomington Normal, Illinois, is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What do you think of today's trade?
Well, a little sloppy from the bulls' perspective. We saw additional follow-through selling from last week's numbers. Quite a bit of liquidation. Open interest has been going down on this price break. We're seeing the end users sort of put their hands in their pocket. We'll see in the technical trade turn to being on the sell side. Just not a whole lot of positive or bullish news right at the moment to get the trade to come in to be a buyer. We've got moisture in some of the drier areas, not only here but also in the southern hemisphere. We're starting to see this demand base continue to sort of shrink a little bit. Shipments on the weekly export inspections report, we shipped out 22 million bushels of wheat, which was about in line. 14 million bushels of corn, that was in line, but relatively weak. And bean shipments were 30 million bushels. They were looking for 40 to 48 million bushels, so that was kind of a disappointment, too. Also, news articles of up to 20 ethanol plants taking some downtime in through here, which, you know, I think we've got a little over 200. So it's a pretty large percentage of this demand base. It's kind of slowing down here, and that's had the trade on edge here for about the last week.
The trade on edge, but of course we don't really have the corn around. There were some suggestions and thoughts as we made our way through Commodity Week and other programs last week that the 602, now 650 or thereabouts, for ending stocks for corn probably still wasn't high enough in terms of what the trade would like to have left in the bin by the time we get to the end of the year. Last year, of course, we were at this same point, and we ended up with, about 850, I think, at the end of the year. Most of that came as we shifted from old crop to new crop. Will we be able to come up with the same kind of ending stocks for corn, and will it be on the back of less ethanol being produced in the United States?
Well, they're going to make the supply demand balance sheet balance the way they want it to balance.
Well, you know what? They have to do that by law.
They're going to add and subtract, but no, you're correct. And the interesting thing about that, and I don't have the data on it, is the robbing of the new crop to fulfill old crop demand. And barring no weather disaster here, if we do see the crop going in a timely fashion here this spring, and don't see a big weather disturbance to mess up the production cycle, we will see, I feel, basis firm going into this fall as these end users kick back up to gather supplies to work with as we go into this fall. So our top strategy here as a producer, don't get caught, you know, getting too bearish and selling the hole in here, but sort of have a marketing plan that's flexible. We like putting in a price floor in here where we're not committing to actual bushels. And probably the number one reason for it is to take advantage of basis improvement as we move on down the road. Right now, the end users got their hands in their pocket and feel they can buy it cheaper. But when they actually start buying here down the road, we feel basis will improve at least the 30 to 45 cents we've been accustomed to going in through fall, early winter.
If you're having producers of grains lock in some profits at this point, what are you doing with the livestock guys?
We've been sort of search and hunt mode. Like you say, the fear is find the actual cash grain. We've been kind of in a holding pattern here waiting for this correction to run its course. And that's going to be the challenge here to get some old crop supplies locked in. We want to watch the $7 level basis March corn futures. That's sort of the key, whether or not if we'll correct further. If we can hold $7, we feel we can move back up to the 750. We kind of feel the old crop is going to remain somewhat firm to the new crop, even though the spread did not show that today. The old crop saw some liquidation up front here, unwinding of the bull spread.
In the soy complex, do we expect soybeans from South America, Argentina, or Brazil to begin filtering into the marketplace anytime soon?
It's a slow, long, drawn-out process. There's talk of dock strike. I've seen no confirmation of that yet. The trade has been well prepared to see those beans come into the pipeline. That's why the spread was relatively fairly wide between March and July, going into year end, but it's narrowed up quite a bit here over the near term. But eventually, those beans will make it into the world channels. It might not be in a timely fashion that they want, but overall, when you look at the big production in the southern hemisphere, it's going to be awful hard to be bullish beans as we go into our spring, early summer time window.
Kurt, thanks so much for taking the time.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Have you purchased your tickets yet for All-Day Ag Outlook? It's at the Beef House on the 5th day of March. If not, now's the time to call 217-333-7300. Your $25 ticket buys the day-long event, our look at agriculture in terms of corn and soybeans, the cash grain market, along with special keynotes on livestock, land prices, and on the changing southern U.S. farm. It's all for $25 at 217-333-7300. Here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that across the board, federal budget cuts could force USDA to furlough up to 6,000 meat inspectors for up to 2 weeks. Some Republicans have proposed that cuts to the Defense Department should be avoided, and the way to do it is to increase domestic cuts, which could make the problem at the Agriculture Department worse. Vilsack says that he is worried Congress might decide the way to avoid the cuts is to do away with the direct payments that crop farmers get, whether prices are high or low. The Renewable Fuels Association today says that 20 of the nation's 211 ethanol plants have ceased production over the past year, including 5 in January. Most remain open, with workers spending time performing maintenance-type tasks. 6 of the 20 ethanol plants that stopped production are in Nebraska, 2 in Indiana, and 2 in Minnesota. 10 states have seen 1 plant affected. Officials at the nation's leading ethanol makers, Archer Daniels Midland and Poet, declined to speculate about whether additional plants will close. Russia's consumer watchdog today says that an almost full ban on U.S. imports of meat and meat products over the feed additive ractopamine will apparently be lengthy. The head of Russia's consumer watchdog says the restrictions will be in force until a solution is found. Russia claims that it has scientific proof that ractopamine is unsafe. Russia has banned pork, beef, as well as meat products from the U.S. starting today. Russia has pressured the U.S. to certify its pork and beef exports are ractopamine-free, but USDA has opposed the trade requirement, saying it breaks Russia's commitments as a member of the World Trade Organization. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Have you signed up yet for All Day Ag Outlook? I hope so. It's coming up on the 5th day of March. That's a Tuesday over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Will be a really great day. Less than 100, less than probably 80. I haven't checked at this time. Tickets are left now. You need to call at 217-333-7300 to reserve your spot at the All Day Ag Outlook. It's the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Your $25 ticket includes the midday meal, a bit of breakfast, and, well, all of the agricultural programming for the day at the Beef House. The All Day Ag Outlook, the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Dial 217-333-7300 for your tickets now. The following is an email from Eric Rund, Champaign County, Illinois farmer. Todd, I heard your show on Saturday and can corroborate pretty much everything your guest, Dr. Michael Cordonnier, said about Brazil. You can use this note as you see fit. The reason I sent it to you is that I saw things farmers here in the United States should be aware of, things that will make a difference in the near future. For example, needing to rotate out of beans more often, and much higher yielding corn that is in South America. I must caution you, though, as I try to caution myself, that what I saw in the grand scheme of Brazil was very limited. What gives me a little more confidence is that what I saw is significantly different than what I saw in other trips. Below is a report on the trip if you're interested. Eric. Here are Eric's notes. I visited Brazil January the 18th to the 30th at the invitation of a group of farmers who had visited our farm in 2010. It was an extensive and informative trip through four states, Bahia, Tocantins, Maranhão, and Piau, looking at corn, soybeans, cotton, and cattle. On this trip, I was unencumbered with the responsibilities of guiding a tour, and thus was able to freely travel into the soybean frontier, where there are few accommodations. What was lacking in comfort, though, was made up with hospitality. A farmer in Piau even moved from his own home to a makeshift tent made from a silo bag so that Dr. Yorinori and I could have beds to sleep in for the night. I think he felt sorry for us old guys. This was the first time I was truly at a place in Brazil where land was first being cleared in a significant way, a place where few had tried to farm before. It's a hard life in those areas, though the rewards can be great if things go right. Further back from the frontier, where the land has already been farmed for 3 to 4 years, the beans and corn both were doing very well after having had a dry start. If the current rains continue, 55 to 65 bushel to the acre beans will be quite common. Also, for the first time since I've been traveling to Brazil, I saw a lot of corn that will surpass 200 bushels to the acre. The North-South Railroad, which passes through Goiás and Tocantins and Marjon and on the way to San Luis on the northeast coast, is nearly complete. When it opens, it will give farmers access to less expensive transportation to an export market 2,000 miles closer to the Panama Canal than they presently have at Santos. The bottom line is that transporting beans to China will be cheaper. The farm we own a share of in the south of Tocantins is near the rail line, and we will definitely benefit. Even though I did not go to Mato Grosso during this trip, friends there told me that indeed the rains are hindering the harvest of a very good bean crop. Different this year is that if the weather cooperates, they will be planting 80% of their bean ground to second crop corn, where it would normally only be about 30%. In southwest Bahia, I visited a Bunge soybean meal processing plant that was switching to using crop residue as a heat source, as it's considerably cheaper than buying firewood. Certified firewood is hard to find and has to be shipped in from long distances. If this proves successful, these biomass sales will give farmers an income source they've never had before. When we think of renewable fuel and Brazil, we tend to think of cane ethanol, but more energy is derived from burning biomass for heat and power than burning ethanol to power cars. I also got a chance to revisit the Ministry of Mining and Energy in Brasilia before coming home. I had a good conversation about ethanol and biodiesel with two gentlemen I know there who have worked in those programs for 5 years or more. Their former boss is now the president of Brazil. Partly because of this, I'm sure they seemed happy in their work and confident in their position. When I asked them about Bungie burning crop residues, they didn't know, but promised to put me in contact with the department handling biomass energy. What they did want to talk about was ethanol. As you may know, Brazil was in the U.S. 3 years ago buying ethanol to fill their shortfall. And lately, the U.S. has been purchasing many millions of gallons of cane ethanol to meet our advanced renewable fuel requirements. The fiscal cliff renewal of our biodiesel subsidy may end these imports temporarily or not, depending on prices. Their point was that this trade in ethanol is taking place with no real plan. They would like to see forthright talks between the U.S. and Brazil about their respective renewable fuels policies. The outcome of such talks, should they occur, would undoubtedly affect farmers, and we would be wise to pay attention. Eric Run, Champaign County, Illinois, farmer. Our thanks go to Eric Run for his note this morning and for listening to Commodity Week. We booked him, by the way, as our guest for the February 22nd edition of that program.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, this is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to look at the cash grain market, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd. Our
producer's still wondering what's happening to the price of corn, I suppose.
Yeah, I think they are. And, you know, I think they're, you know, there's very little old crop corn left, so I think what little bit they have left, they're very patient, willing to wait it out a little bit. I don't think it's like they need money right away. The more concerning issue, though, obviously, is the new crop. Very little new crop corn sold ahead, and this market has really fallen out of bed. I think the December average was 621, and the January average was 580-something, and here we are in the 550s. So we've really had a big sell-off in new crop corn.
And we were, what, 40 cents higher or more not very long ago, so it sold off fast. Do you think there will be a correction on this?
There needs to be a reason, and I can't think of what the reason would be. The Ag Outlook Conference on Feb 21 and 22 probably won't give us any good news there. They're going to use some big acreage number, 97 million probably, and all you can do at this point is put on an average yield, and until we can prove to them that we've got some weather problems somewhere, and you know, the threat of dry weather is not the same thing as dry weather, so until we actually have some problems, I think everybody, a bunch of traders are going to assume something close to normal, and you know, that's plenty of corn if we would, in fact, come in anywhere close to normal. So
that would be, what, a 14.2 billion crop or something along those lines.
Exactly, exactly. And with usage around 13, I mean, that's, you know, we're going to have to prove to them that we don't have, you know, and 14.2 is probably a little too high, but even if it's 13.5, if we use 13, we get by. So, you know, just like last year, we didn't really see the rally start until the 1st of July, and you know, that's still 5 months away, so we got a long ways to go, and we trade every day until then.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 727. New corn is 539. Cash beans are 1445. New beans, 1243. And new crop wheat is 731.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Back in just a couple of minutes with a look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's National Peppermint Patty Day. It's also Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the first hospital in America opened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to do the work of Benjamin Franklin. In 1785, the Philadelphia Society for Promoting Agriculture was founded. It is the oldest active agricultural organization in the U.S. In 1802, Lydia Maria Frances Child was born. She wrote books of advice for women, including The Frugal Housewife. In 1928, the first Lazy Boy reclining chair was invented. Designed with a piece of plywood and a yardstick, the finished model was a wood slat porch chair. Upholstered chairs did not come until the spring of 1929. And in 1994, use of the genetically engineered growth hormone for cows, RBGH, began. The approval process took almost a decade. It was the first time that altered genes were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for injection into live animals. The growth hormone improved a cow's milk production by as much as 15 pounds a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Check out willag.org online when you get the opportunity at willag.org. It's all part of the service here at Will Ag. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for a Monday afternoon, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, let's go through the rainfall to begin with that we had over the last week or so across parts of the Midwest. Who received rainfall, who did not, and who's still terribly short?
Well, the areas that are still short following our storm systems here, that includes much of the central and southern plains, especially Kansas down through western Texas. That area did miss out on the bulk of precipitation. Here in Illinois and the Midwest, we fared much better with precip totals, at least from this weekend's event, primarily in the 0.1 to 0.8 range, with a few areas in southern Illinois receiving over 1 inch. The delta, especially the southern delta, fared the best with widespread 1 to 2 inches, as well as some significant tornado outbreaks there yesterday and across areas of Louisiana and Mississippi. So certainly the Midwest Delta has fared off much better than the plains, and that's a good segue here to the forecast. We kind of see more of the same here coming up, Todd. A little, if any, precip in areas of the southern plains. It's not a bone-dry pattern, but just precip is not enough here to make up these long-term deficits. But these systems that are moving across the region, they do look like better producers in areas of the Mississippi Valley region, which has been the trend here of late.
And then turn your attention to the southern hemisphere in Brazil. They've been very wet, and they're trying to mud out at least the very beginnings of their harvest season.
Yeah, and in areas of Mato Grosso where that early harvest progress is taking place, we are going to see a brief break in the action here this week as overall daily thunderstorm development gets suppressed for several days. However, rains look to return next week, so this break in the action, again, looks very brief, and we see a return of more active conditions next week. So bottom line, no sign of any major improvement in the disruptions here in early harvest progress in areas of Mato Grosso.
How about in Argentina? They had been very dry, but I think that changed just a little bit.
Yeah, they're beginning to see more significant precip in Argentina, some scattered activity over the past 24 to 36 hours, but much more widespread rains will begin to influence the belt here starting late this week as a frontal system moves into and kind of stalls out across the Argentina-southern Brazil region, and that looks to produce significant precip here over the weekend and into the start of next week. And beyond that, we see additional precip systems as well as a lack of heat and cooler than normal temperatures across the region. So it looks like the pattern's changing across Argentina, and that's helping especially improve soybeans, which are still going through their critical pod development stage.
Have you been watching China and its winter season? How has it made it through that process and set up for the spring planting season there?
Well, from a soil moisture standpoint, things are setting up in good shape as much of eastern China, and particularly northeastern China, the heart of their corn and soybean acreage, has had a very wet winter. A lot of that precip here is in the form of snow, and that's actually the temperatures have been the most anomalous in China. In fact, this is shaping up to be one of China's coldest winters of the past 50 years, as that area has been one of the coldest regions across the entire northern hemisphere. So that's something to keep a watch on.
as we go into spring, is any delay in planting due to cold weather.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Perhaps helps us wrap it up. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.